of the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Yes, Adam Lepp, that is my name. Thank you very much for listening. This is the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, live in the studio on the Talking Place, WWGH1071.com, and broadcasting, yes, the old-fashioned way, at 107.1 megahertz frequency modulation, or we call that FM. And what do we do here on the Adam the Computer Guy show? Broadcasting at that frequency and over the internet worldwide. Well, we get geeky. Yes, let's get geeky because it's a lot of fun. We talk today's top technology topics, be it about robotics, maybe things like self-driving or autonomous vehicles. Yeah, who needs a driver? Just let the computer, let the robot drive the car. Medical technology, making the work of doctors, nurses, and other medical people easier, more efficient, and saving you money as a user of healthcare. Of course, the latest and greatest in smartphones and smart homes and other things that are smart, people and otherwise. And, of course, operating systems, keeping your computer at your home office, your car, or, of course, that smartphone in your pocket, away from prying ears, eyes, and servers, and, goodness sakes, whatever else. Security with computers and other technological items, not the most glamorous or certainly not the most well-paying aspect of technology, but certainly the most important. And we cover that stuff here on the Adam the Computer Guy show. And I really appreciate your being a part of it. We are broadcasting a live video on Facebook. So, if you're a Facebook friend of mine or you are a Facebook follower of the radio station, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Go ahead and watch me right now sitting here in the studio. See, drinking the coffee and performing the radio show. Of course, you can also listen on TuneIn. That's a good way to listen online. Just download the free TuneIn app if you've not done that already on your smartphone or smart device, Android or Apple. And then install it, of course. Then look for WWGH Radio in Marion. Make it a favorite. Bookmark it. And then go ahead and click on, as I say, the little triangle thingy, and you can listen to the station anytime. Not just to me, but to all of our fine shows and presentations. So, what's going on in the world of technology? We also take a look at the latest in tech news, and as you probably know, there's been a lot of tech news over the last few weeks. In fact, over the last few days, we're going to cover that. First of all, I invite you to call me. Please call me. Don't be shy. I won't bite. We provide free technical support, assistance, questions about your home office, computer, etc. You'd like to perhaps provide an opinion about something I've covered during this show or on a previous show. Maybe you don't agree with me. That's fine. You can call and tell me that I'm crazy. That's not a problem whatsoever. I'd like to hear from you. Or maybe you'd like some more information on something that I've covered. That's all cool. We've discussed a lot of things in the approximately year and 2.5 months that we've had this show, and I'd love to hear what you have to say. Also, suggested topics for the show are wonderful. 740-383-9944. Or again, if you're watching the Facebook video, just leave a comment in the feed, or again, a comment or question on our Facebook page. It's all well and good. Adam the Computer Guy here on WWGH Radio, 17 minutes after 9 on a Thursday morning, March 30th already. How about that? Probably the biggest tech story, at least from my perspective, has been the privacy when you surf the web, and the government desiring to take away that privacy. And I'm not a very happy camper, as I don't feel that my web surfing should be sold by my ISP. It's private, and I'm not very pleased, to put it mildly. Love to hear what you have to say about this. Here's the latest, and this is from CNN. And I like to use CNN because they tend to have a more unbiased perspective. They're not really to the left or the right. They just report the news in a more old-school method. Of course, it's impossible not to have an opinion about this, and I think I made my opinion pretty clear, and I'm pretty sure most tech professionals like myself would concur. But from CNN, there's a big outrage, not surprisingly. Republicans are the main target, but again, I see this as kind of a nonpartisan issue. I'm an independent. I don't believe in political parties myself, but sometimes one party is certainly more responsible than the other. Let's put it that way. There was a vote on Tuesday, and again, the vote related to repealing internet privacy protections that were approved by the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, toward the end of the Obama administration. Privacy advocates, consumer groups, and the technology community are all at odds with the decision. It was quickly criticized by both the editorial board of the New York Times and by commenters on media outlets such as Breitbart News. One commenter wrote on Breitbart Tuesday night, "This is one of very few Obama-era regulations that should have stayed." Someone else said, "Totally agreed. This is an attack against freedom." So people of all political philosophies are less than pleased by this. Now, these rules, which had not yet gone into effect, would have required internet service providers to get your permission before collecting and sharing your data. Now, I'm paying for the internet access, and I expect privacy. Just like I don't expect my electric company to report what light bulbs I have on, what I'm using with my power, or my gas station to know and to share and sell where I'm driving with my car because I buy my gas there. And likewise, internet service providers are a utility, and what I do on my own computer that I've paid for access, internet access, paying for the electricity, paying for the computer itself, paying the property taxes for the house that it sits in, it's none of their business, to put it mildly. So anyway, now these rules, and they've not yet gone into effect, but again, they are pretty much favored by people of all political persuasions, including independents like myself. They would have required internet service providers to get your permission before collecting and sharing your data. Now, providers obviously have data on your web browsing history, your app usage, and your geolocation, where you're located. They can kind of get that information, but what should they do with it? Because again, it's private, and I stand firm on that. Providers would also have been required to notify customers about the types of information collected and shared. Fight for the Future, a digital rights group that helped organize protests for net neutrality, is planning to put up billboards naming the legislators who voted to repeal. And I'm all for that. Again, we as taxpayers pay their salary. Let's get it out there, because these people should not be in the legislative business in this country where we have freedom of speech and things that are like that. And so I'm all for that. Again, it's a nonpartisan issue. Many Republicans feel this way. I'm independent, so I couldn't feel stronger about it. Evan Greer, campaign director for Fight for the Future, said in a statement before the vote took place, "Congress should know by now that when you come for the internet comes for you. These billboards are just the beginning." Now, the technology industry has been relatively quiet on issues like net neutrality under the new administration. Not surprisingly, again, tech professionals like myself have expressed dismay at this vote. Fiaya Gotti, general counsel at Twitter, tweeted that it's time to start using a VPN at home. in response to the news. Now, a VPN, a virtual private network, is an option to protect your online identity. He said, you better believe that the big internet service providers already have teams and plans to capitalize on this ruling. Now, some frustrated internet users have even gone so far as to launch a crowdfunding page to buy up internet data belonging to members of Congress. So a taste of their own medicine. The Senate voted along party lines to undo the rules last week. The resolution now goes to Donald Trump's desk. The White House said on Tuesday that it strongly supports the repeal. Again, these were internet privacy regulations not in effect yet that were approved in the last days of the previous administration. Groups are now calling on Donald Trump to make good on his populist campaign rhetoric by vetoing the legislation. The Consumer Federation of America, a nonprofit organization, said it does provide an opportunity for President Trump. He can show that he is on the side of the people by vetoing this measure. The ACLU said President Trump now has the opportunity to show he is not just a president for CEOs, but for all Americans. So what do you think about this? Should our internet usage be something that ISPs can get a hold of and sell and share? No way, as far as I'm concerned, but do you agree with me? Do you not agree with me? That's fine. I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email. And you know what? We have a private email server. How about that? Keeping up with the times, adam@wwgh1071.com. I'd love to hear from you. Leave me a comment on our Facebook page, WWGH in Marion. And of course, if you're watching my live video, either on the station's website or on my own, the station's Facebook, or my own Facebook, leave a comment about that or something else in the feed. I'd love to talk to you about it. You can call the station, 740-383-9944, and again, discuss the internet privacy regulations that may very well be shot down, or any other topic related to technology or geekiness, and 740-383-9944. That's the telephone number. Give me a call. Don't be shy. I'd love to hear from you. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy. They call me Adam, the computer guy, with my twice weekly radio show on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and of course broadcasting online at WWGH1071.com. Coming up after me, you might ask, what program follows the much ballyhooed Adam the Computer Guy radio show? That's a very good question. Well, it would be the Fahey Bank Charlie Evers show. Now, Charlie Evers is a man who's been in radio, I think, 150 years, or at least 50 years, in Marion and environs. He is a walking encyclopedia of anything and everything related to mid-Ohio, be it the weather, the terrain. Famous people, famous landmarks, businesses that have come and gone. This man knows it all. He gives away prizes, food, event tickets, and goodness sakes, what have you. So please, give him a call also during his show, 740-383-9944. Again, that's the Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show, which comes up right after my show, after the 10 a.m. features. And then after noon, the noon features, approximately 12:15 p.m., it is Now with Scott Spears. And it's not on Now, it's on shortly after noon, today and every Thursday. Now, Scott Spears is a man who has a penchant for celebrity guests. Everyone from Bob Barker to co-star of Maud, Bill Macy, legendary comedian, author, and speaker Dick Gregory, Eleanor Clift, columnist from the Daily Beast. And who knows who else is on the show with Scott? All kinds of outstanding, interesting, famous guests on Now with Scott Spears today and every Thursday between approximately 12:15 p.m. and 2 on the Talking Place, WWGH. Currently, you have the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, and that's me, Adam the Computer Guy. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 12, 13 minutes after 9 and 10 in the morning to talk today's top technology topics. And again, I do take your telephone calls, so give me a ring. Don't be shy. 740-383-9944. I'd love to hear from you. So we discussed probably the biggest tech story, that is the very serious threat to privacy when you surf the web and use an ISP, an internet provider, be it Roadrunner, Frontier, AT&T, Cincinnati Bell, Huawei, what have you. Serious threats to privacy, which I'm not happy about. That was the leading story. Probably the second most talked about story this week in the technology world is the new Samsung Galaxy S8, a very smart and probably not overly cheap smartphone that's coming out soon. In fact, it launched on Wednesday, but again, if it's available, that's a different matter, but the official launch was yesterday. And when I get a new smartphone, which will probably be in a few months, I might very well indulge. So anyway, why is the Samsung Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus such a big deal? Major improvements in design and security processing power, as well as the new digital assistant technology, are the main things about the new Samsung Galaxy smartphone, the S8. Now, they offer the first 10 nanometer processor, and that allows for greater speed and efficiency when multitasking, according to Samsung. Both models have an 8 megapixel front facing camera with autofocus and a 12 megapixel dual pixel rear camera. A 12 megapixel dual pixel, that sounds like a lot of fun. The screen is quite large. The 5.8 and 6.2 inch screens are available. The 8 Plus has the 6.2 inch, and that's quite a large screen for a smartphone. That's almost as big as one of those netbooks, the mini laptops that have been popular in the past. Both phones sport an infinity display using Corning Gorilla Glass and a bezel-less design, which provides a wider viewing area and more immersive experience than traditional smartphones. They are the first devices to be certified as Mobile HDR Premium by the UHD Alliance. So what does that mean, all that mumbo-jumbo? Well, it means that viewers can watch TV and movies in vibrant color. So this smartphone does pretty much everything. Why would you need any other piece of technology? Of course, after buying one, you might not have enough money for more technology. Security features offer defense-level protection that includes biometric authentication with iris and fingerprint scanning and facial recognition. Now, so let's talk about how it competes with Siri, Apple's virtual assistant. Well, the Samsung Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus feature Samsung's new digital assistant technology, which is called Bixby. It extends artificial intelligence capabilities to touch, vision, and text commands. It features a contextual awareness, so the device can recognize a local landmark, for example, and recognize nearby restaurants and make a recommendation as where you should eat. This phone does pretty much everything. Why would you even need a girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife? Just marry your phone because it does a lot of the same things. How about that? Siriam Thodia. Interesting name, since this person's name begins S-I-R-I. So, interesting name. This person, Siriam Thodia, is the Senior Director of Intelligence and Internet of Things. At the launch event for this new Samsung Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus, said Bixby, again the new virtual assistant for Samsung, a competitor to Siri, understands context. It knows what is happening on your screen. Now, Bixby voice commands work with several native Samsung apps ranging from contacts, camera, and gallery to settings and messages. It works with some other Samsung and third-party apps as well. And again, that's the new virtual assistant on this new Samsung S8, S8 Plus phone, which is launching this week. These smartphones, which seem pretty smart, feature several interactive technologies, expanding the range of features throughout the Samsung ecosystem. The phones unlock the company's new Gear virtual reality with controller, allowing single-handed navigation with Oculus devices. They also connect to the new Gear 360, which allows the creation of 4K 360-degree video and 15K photos. These phones work with Samsung Connect, which allows them to control Internet of Things-enabled devices using three-step configuration. Samsung DeX allows the phones to provide a secure desktop-like computing experience. That sounds pretty fancy. Did you imagine back 20 years ago when you had a bag phone or one of the newer flip phones that you could actually get a phone that could almost be like a computer in your pocket that would have fingerprint and facial recognition, that would have a very powerful processor, that would have two great cameras? Absolutely amazing. Of course, what's this phone going to cost? That's a different matter. Werner Goetz, the Senior Director for Personal Technologies Innovation at Gartner, an expert in this field, said the Samsung Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus will be very well received, and it will solidify Samsung's leadership in smartphones. That said, none of the hardware or feature sets announced at the event are revolutionary. The Infinity display, which increases the viewable display to 83%, is a good and competitive addition. But LG announced the same feature for its G6 at the Mobile World Congress. And that interests me because I have an LG G4 and I'm pretty happy with it. And the price was good. It's a good quality phone. The battery doesn't last long, but that happens. They never last half as long as they claim. But with this phone, it has a replaceable battery. So they had a special bonus offer where I got an extra battery with a little case you can charge it in. So I always keep an extra battery, especially in the car if I'm on a longer trip. That way, when the battery runs out, I just swap out the battery and voila, 100% charge. Then I can charge the other one, which usually can happen in about 4 hours. So the LG G4 I'm pretty happy with. The G6 is out now. So between the LG G6 and this new Samsung Galaxy S8, I have some decision making to do. Which phone am I going to get? Well, I guess I'll make that decision sometime soon. Anyway, Werner Goetz, an expert in the field, he works at Gartner. He said in terms of recovering from the Galaxy Note recall, Samsung has learned to directly, openly, and proactively address the loss of trust that it caused. And again, that was the phone, the device that was a fire hazard. Well, with this new S8, hopefully they can redeem themselves. Jitesh Ubrani from IDC, analyst for mobile devices, said the S8 could be an instant classic. He said Samsung has gone above and beyond in terms of design. Now, the phone has launched, but it'll be available officially on the 21st of April in black, gray, silver, blue, and maple gold. So what do you think? How much do you think it's going to cost? They've not really disclosed that yet. Would you get a Galaxy S8 or S8 Plus? Or would you, like me, maybe get an LG G4? Send me an email on our private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com. I'd love to hear from you. Or give me a call here in the studio. That's even better. 740-383-9944. You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. And you might ask, what is the Adam the Computer Guy radio show? It's a twice weekly feature here on Marianne's Talking Place, WWGH1071.com. That's how we broadcast online. And you can also listen the old-fashioned way, approximately in a 15-mile radius from the historic town of Marion, Ohio, at 107.1 on your FM dial. So what is WikiLeaks up to? I'm sure they have a few things to say about this very real invasion into our internet privacy, which I discussed earlier. Well, WikiLeaks last Thursday announced it had released more Vault 7 documentation online. And what is Vault 7? Well, it includes details about how several CIA projects will infect Apple's Mac computer firmware and operating system. Now, the site unloaded its first batch of stolen Vault 7 data earlier this month. The CIA's embedded development branch developed malware that could persist even if the targeted computer were reformatted and its operating system were reinstalled, according to data that WikiLeaks has exposed. The newly released files, what did they do? They put a spotlight on the CIA's efforts to gain persistence in Apple devices, including Mac computers and iPhones, via malware designed to attack their firmware. One of the documents highlighted in this data dump from last Thursday, again by WikiLeaks, related to Apple Mac firmware and the operating system, it exposes the, quote, Sonic Screwdriver project, which likely was named for the handheld tool wielded by the science fiction character Doctor Who, as the device seemingly can bypass any digital or mechanical lock. The CIA described it as a mechanism for executing code on peripheral devices while a Mac laptop or desktop is booting. According to WikiLeaks, it would allow the attacker to gain access even if a firmware password were enabled. So some disturbing news about data privacy and data integrity related to the CIA and what WikiLeaks is exposing. Kind of scary stuff in our technology-dominated society. Any kind of data breach or privacy violation, we want to take that stuff seriously. And again, here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, we talk about that stuff because that's what we do. I feel data privacy and data integrity about the most important thing that we deal with in the technology world. Hey, give me a call. Let me know what you think. 740-383-9944. That's the telephone number. So there are a lot of very smart people in the technology world and people that are probably twice as smart as I am. One of them is a visionary. His name is Elon Musk. Kind of sounds like a cologne, but that's his name, Elon Musk. He currently is in charge of Tesla and SpaceX. And he has launched a startup company called Neuralink. So what does Neuralink do? They are dedicated to developing technology that will connect human brains directly to a computer. Again, this is a project of tech visionary Elon Musk, a very smart person. And this company, Neuralink, will connect the human brain directly to a computer. That sounds pretty exciting. Now, it's in its early stages, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal that he confirmed via Twitter. See, these smart people, they tweet all the time. Neuralink, which Elon Musk is funding privately, is a medical research firm that aims to develop neural lace, a technology that could allow the implanting of small electrodes into the brain. He reportedly has recruited leading academics in the field to work with this new company, Neuralink, which will connect a computer to a brain. So exactly what a direct connection between a computer and a human brain could do has been the topic of science fiction debates. But whether it's actually possible is the million-dollar question. Paul Tyke from Tyrios Research, an expert in the field, said the technique of trepanning, drilling holes in our skulls to try to fix problems with people's brains, appears to be as ancient as humanity itself, and the idea of implanting electrodes is decades old. Some pretty deep stuff. However, he said, the medical imaging sensors and processing power required to figure out how a human brain works to a level of detail that can be used to implant sensor and exciter networks that have specific, precise, and deterministic functions is still in its very beginning stages. Kevin Kruel, also at Turios Research, again an expert in the field, and we're talking about connecting a computer to a human brain, he said, we still have a long way to go toward developing a complex bi-directional link directly to the brain. Now, not surprisingly, treatment of brain damage perhaps tops the list of reasons to pursue such a connection between a brain and a computer. Kevin Kruel said that Neuralink will develop advanced electrodes that can be attached or implanted within the brain, and this direct connection between the brain and electronics could allow direct stimulation of specific brain areas, which can be used for therapy for some neural disorders. Now, what are visionary Elon Musk, what he is attempting with this new startup that he is funding called Neuralink, is essentially basic medical research backed by new computational scientific methods. But it's likely there will be a long time before anybody's brain can be plugged directly into a computer. I'd like to plug some politicians' brains into a computer to knock some sense into them. So maybe a while before what Neuralink is developing would do that, but it certainly sounds like a good idea to me. Paul Tyke, again, from Turios Research, an expert in this kind of stuff, said, while I'm sure there will be a lot of animal and human experimentation and field trials over the next decades, it's going to be a long time before countries with liberal medical device approval processes will see widespread use of these technologies. Never mind our Food and Drug Administration approval process in the United States. Michael Rogers, he's a futurist. He said, technology turns into a very different beast when you begin to work on the human body. During research and development, there are ethical concerns about human experimentation. And when you go to market, there are major hurdles with agencies like the FDA. Now, one part of such a connection that hasn't been discussed very much is privacy. We talked about essentially a removal of privacy between your computer and the world if your ISP can sell your surfing history, your location, and other data. And again, what myself and other technology professionals think about it, and that's that it stinks. So again, we look at data privacy with this project that's being developed by Neuralink, which allows a connection between a computer and a brain. So, privacy, obviously. Do you want the world to know? Do you want your doctor to know what is happening in the inner part of your brain? Well, if a computer-to-brain interface can allow for the uploading of thoughts, what happens as thoughts become data? Technology and privacy consultant Frederick Lane said, it isn't so much your brain being hacked, but there will be other challenges that come with a neural and electronic interface. The real worry is that thoughts are truly the definition of private information. It is the literal definition, and it doesn't get more private than that. So when you put your memories in the cloud, you have to worry about how they will be protected. Companies are increasingly good at collecting data, but they aren't very good at protecting it. Furthermore, it's conceivable that personal thoughts could get individuals in serious trouble. He said, we have a legal system that already wants to punish fantasy. This opens the way for thought police, where you think about a potential crime and could be prosecuted for just having that thought. Beyond the unhappy prospect of thought policing, there is the potential debate on whether electronics could change the very nature of a human being. So we plug a computer into your brain, and does it change you? Does it make you into a different person? Now the plot thickens, doesn't it? Tyrios Research's Kevin Kruel, and we talked about him earlier, an expert in the field, said a sensor on the brain could be used to send signals to the electronics and then be used to control electronics. Eventually, we can have direct interfaces between the brain and electronics, enabling augmented humans. But the problem is that it can create a future of haves and have-nots of augmentations. Now, it's somewhat ironic that Elon Musk, again, this technology person who is behind several companies, including this new one called Neuralink, which can connect a human being brain to a computer. He announced this new venture the same week that the movie Ghost in the Shell is being released. According to Kevin Kruel, an expert in the field from Tyrios Research, it's a science fiction movie involving the future of augmented humans and human cyborgs. Futurist Glenn Heemstra said the most likely positive outcome would be enhanced access to data and knowledge and mind-to-mind communication. However, he said, the negative possibilities include radically unequal access to the technology, leading to even more radical inequality in human opportunity. Now, it may be a long time before this actually happens. There's already a lot of exciting work being done in the therapeutic use of brain-computer or nervous system-computer interfaces, and with further work, there is a valuable investment. But creating a product for the consumer, that would be something else. Elon Musk will have his Mars colony well before the average person can order cosmetic brain surgery. And that comes from, again, one of our experts that we quoted earlier, Michael Rogers, a futurist. So what do you think about this? Connecting a brain to a computer and maybe getting a virtual brain surgery. That might change how you think, might make you smarter, might make you change your opinions, might change what you look like. Pretty cool stuff, or is it kind of scary? Is it too futuristic? Hey, give me a call here at the station. I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's the telephone number. Here at the radio station, live at the Marion Center Mall in our studio. Yes. Usually it's kind of chilly here, but you know what? It's 60 degrees today. That's not too bad. Of course, it's been warmer outside. It's now spring, so it is certainly more comfortable. No complaints from yours truly. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy. About 10 minutes left of my radio show. Still time to chime in. Gosh, I would love to hear from you. Again, the phone number here at the station, 740-383-9944. Or, of course, you can leave a comment, questions, suggestion, complaint on our Facebook page at WWGH 107.1. And last but not least, you can watch me on Facebook video, either through my Facebook page. Look up Adam the Computer Guy or Adam Lepp in Ohio. If you're not already a friend, request my friendship, because I'd love to be your virtual friend. Always need more virtual friends. Or, of course, on the radio station's Facebook page, again, WWGH 107.1. So what's going on at the UK? Not just the Brexit, that is Great Britain's exit from the European Alliance, European Union. That's what I meant to say. Not just Brexit, but UK's Home Secretary Amber Rudd, on Sunday, called for greater government access to encrypted content on mobile apps. So we talked about the very possible defeat of the Obama regulation, which hadn't gone into effect yet, but was going to. Something that he worked on toward the end of his presidency, where Your ISP may not sell your surfing data, your geolocation, and some other things that are very much private. And this being defeated by Congress and going for the president's signature shortly, so we take a look at the UK. Their Home Secretary, Amber Rudd, is also looking at a data privacy matter. Now, Facebook's WhatsApp, for example, has end-to-end encryption. Amber Rudd, the UK Home Secretary, said it should not be allowed to conceal terrorists' communications from law enforcement. And she said that on an appearance on the Andrew Marr Show, that's broadcast by the British Broadcasting Company, the BBC. She said there should be no place for terrorists to hide. We need to make sure that organizations like WhatsApp, and there are plenty of others like that, don't provide a secret place for terrorists to communicate with each other. So we obviously want to have data privacy as users, but what about terrorists using these applications for ulterior purposes? So the plot thickens just a bit. Khalid Masood, who killed four people outside the UK's Parliament building last week before being shot dead, reportedly used WhatsApp a few minutes before going on his murder spree. In this situation, we need to make sure that our intelligence services have the ability to get into situations like encrypted WhatsApp. And that comes from UK Home Secretary Amber Rudd. So, as much as we value data privacy, if it's being used for a very bad purpose, then again, the plot thickens. We need to take a look at how we feel about this and when it might be appropriate for data privacy not to be in the mix. Even though she supported end-to-end encryption as a cybersecurity measure, Amber Rudd said in an interview on Sky News that it was absurd to have terrorists talking on a formal platform and not have access to those conversations. WhatsApp spokesperson Anne Yeh said, "We are horrified at the attack carried out in London and are cooperating with law enforcement as they continue their investigations." During her appearance on the Andrew Marr Show in the UK, Amber Rudd disclosed that she would be meeting with Facebook and other technology companies this week to discuss ways to meet the information needs of security officers. She did not rule out new legislation to regulate encrypted messaging if the government and the technology companies were unable to reach an agreement. However, that law might already exist. Last year, the UK adopted the Investigatory Powers Act, which compels technology companies to provide a technical capability to remove electronic protection within their products. That law has been interpreted in some areas to mean that technology companies can be compelled to install backdoors into their products in order to decrypt data when necessary. Now, a backdoor would not have prevented the attack in London. To use a backdoor, according to Matthew Green, a computer science professor at Johns Hopkins, someone who should know a lot about this, he said, to use a backdoor, you have to identify somebody as a target and hack them. With this terrorist, they identified the person and decided that he wasn't a threat and stopped monitoring him. Nothing is going to help once you look at a guy and then look away. Now, backdoors have been criticized as a means to meet the information needs of law enforcement because they undermine the purpose of encryption. Chris Calabresi from the Center for Democracy and Technology said, "Many technologists and even many in law enforcement have acknowledged that there is no secure backdoor. You simply cannot build a door that only the good guys can walk through. If you start building backdoors, they will be exploited by hackers. They will be exploited by terrorists." Technology companies have been skeptical of creating backdoors to break the encryption used by their products and then turning over the keys to law enforcement. Another idea is that the company should create the back doors, but retain control of the keys to prevent abuse. Chris Calabresi, again, from the Center for Democracy and Technology, said that won't work. The systems are too complicated, and the back door is too difficult to keep secure. Professor Green from Johns Hopkins University said, companies do not want to have to worry about their employees misusing these keys, and they don't want to have to secure them. Now, even if backdoors were installed in apps like WhatsApp, they most likely would miss their mark, assuming that that mark is to prevent terrorists from communicating securely. Paul Kalatayud, an expert in the field, said, if the bad guys feel that this application has been compromised by government officials and backdoors become available, this leads to a simple response by the bad guys, and that's to use a different application. WhatsApp is a third-party application on a mobile device. Nothing prevents the bad guys from moving to a lesser-known third-party application. Now, while WhatsApp cannot crack the encrypted content on the Parliament killer's phone, it still can provide authorities with information about the terrorist's phone activity, such as the time a message was sent, whom it was sent to, and the physical location of the sender and recipient. Bruce Schneier from IBM Resilient said, it doesn't matter what this guy said before he did his thing. What matters is who it was, and WhatsApp does not protect that. Investigators can access all kinds of information without recourse to backdoors, according to Bruce Schneier from IBM Resilient, expert in the field, but that would require a real conversation about the problem, which you don't get from these people who grandstand after tragedies. So again, privacy matters versus stopping terrorists in their tracks, an important issue, especially with a recent event in London. We discussed data privacy from many different angles and many perspectives here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Again, feel free to email me. Let me know what you think. The email is adam@wwgh1071.com. I would just love to hear from you because your opinions, your perspective, your insight are all very welcome. Adam the Computer Guy show is going to wrap up after another adventure into the land of geekiness. Talking technology. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Talk to you next Tuesday. Charlie's up next. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.